Yo, check it. It's February 1st, 2015. And you are tuned in to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm your host, The Three.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Anthony, dropping hot fire on the mic. Check out for my new mixtape in 2016.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We're talking about all the cool things in the world.
I can't keep it up. I'm going to get shot.
Yeah, it's a new week. It's a new month. It's a new time for new episodes of podcasts. And that's what we're here for.
Wait, we're a podcast?
I think we are!
Whoa! Man, it's been an exciting 1 month.
It sure has. For 1 month into 2016, and yeah.
Stuff's going down.
Stuff's happening. Changes abound. Shout outs to... Fuck, I should have I want to say it's like Leon.
I can look it up.
You do that. While
you can fill up airtime. Well, I
tell the listeners about this hot thing happening in Toronto.
Tell me all about it.
So in Toronto, there's a thing called Winterlicious going down. Mm-hmm. They also have the same event in summer called Summerlicious. And basically, all the high-end restaurants in Toronto make a set menu for all us peasants. So that's all affordable. So they take $100 menus and they pare them down to, like, I guess, regular, normal people pricing. And I went there today and it was delicious. I had Italian. I don't know if you guys know this, Italian is my favorite cuisine.
It's the best cuisine, I would say.
Yes. Yes. From the Italian?
Yeah, from the Italian. It is the best cuisine.
Yes. They had some good food. I had some lamb, had some cod, had a tiramisu. And,
was your tiramisu alcohol? Like, yes. Was there alcohol in
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because some of these restaurants, they're like, no, we gotta have this baby-friendly tiramisu. There's no alcohol in it.
This one had Kahlua and Bailey's, so.
Okay.
So I doubled down on that, and then, yeah, delish. If you have the means and you're in Toronto.
Not Toronto.
No.
Toronto.
Toronto. Real Torontonians say
Toronto. There's no T's. It's a
exactly. CH. And you cut out the second T.
Toronto.
That's how you know. You know who's in Toronto?
Tell me.
Lewis Hamilton is in Toronto.
Okay, whoa. What?
Yes.
Why aren't we there? Because I saw him with pictures on his Instagram, and he was chilling at Niagara Falls.
Today's at Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Last night, he was at Square One, and he had a surprise meet and greet.
What?
With his fan. He just Snapchatted it. He was like, yo, guess what? I'm here. Come say hi. And he was at the cinema, and it was like only 20 people showed up because no one knows Formula One here. So you could have just said hello and had a little nice conversation.
You could have saw a movie.
I could have saw a movie with Lewis Hamilton.
You would have been like, man, I want to see The Revenant. And you'll be like, man, I already saw it, but let's do it.
I'm disappointed. A part of me should have known this because I knew that he was in Toronto for the past week now, and he's going to be here for probably the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Just because he recently took up boxing and he's training somewhere in Toronto.
Yeah, I saw that also on his Instagram.
And also the All-Star Game's coming up and all his, you know, Hollywood friends go to the basketball All-Star Game. Okay. And I think he's going to the game with Drake, so.
of course,
right?
Of course. I'm just going with Drake, just chilling, whatevs.
So, like, yeah. He's in here. He's within speaking distance. I just have to hunt him down.
Exactly.
I just gotta find him. But yeah. Toronto's a booming city right now. Anyways, did you find what we were talking about? I forgot I was stalling for time for
it. I did. It was a YouTube comment and by the user's name LionsDen99.
Oh.
You had the L. You had the L.
I don't know. I was thinking like Leonsil.
You just thought the L.
Yeah, okay.
You probably saw the Zoolander 2 trailer and you're thinking Hansel, but then you're thinking of an L and you're like Leonsil.
Magnum.
But yeah, yo, thank you for that amazing comment. It actually brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, I showed Anthony this when we were having dinner the other day, and he almost started crying, although I didn't know if it was a spicy food.
No. I'm getting better with the spice. Okay. But that comment pushed me over the edge.
Yes. So we appreciate the fact that you and your girlfriend listen.
Yeah, and the fact that you still enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a surprise, because even I will say we've gone a little downhill in terms of the quality of the show. But let's get started. Picks of the week
or all right.
Stuff of the week. I'm gonna open up because I like talking about toys.
Mm-hmm.
London Toy Fair was this past weekend.
Like Like London, Ontario?
No.
I was like, man, there's nothing going there.
No. I think it's actually called UK Toy Fair, but it's in London, and, well, let's face it.
London is the UK.
London is UK.
Okay.
A lot of cool stuff came up, but the only thing I thought that was interesting was Barbie is finally...
How is Barbie the most interesting thing to come out of a toy show?
Because Barbie's actually doing something that I feel like a lot of people have been asking them to do for years now, or at least since the whole, like, everybody's become over, like, really sensitive to certain topics and whatnot in culture,
all right.
We'll say, all right? Barbie's introducing... So we all know what a Barbie looks like. Blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of impossibly gorgeous body.
Yeah, man, that's what you gotta strive for.
Yeah, she kind of tells little girls that, you know, if you want to be hot, put in that silicone. That's basically
her... I think she's saying you gotta put in the work. You gotta put in that work. No, Britney Spears is like, you want a hot body, you want a Bugatti... You better work, bitch.
That's good. But I think Barbie's more along the lines of get that plastic done, right?
She's literally plastic, so.
Yeah. They're introducing a couple new Barbie dolls. Okay. And when I say dolls, I mean general body layouts.
Huh.
So let me introduce you to the curvy Barbie. How do you feel about the curvy Barbie?
Why does she have blue hair?
Let's ignore the blue hair. Let's talk about them hips.
Yeah, yo, she's got, what is it? What's her face? Amy Schumer figure.
Yeah. We'll just say the more realistic looking body. Compared to Barbie.
Compared to Barbie, yes. Yes,
the more attainable figure.
Like, I could eat a bunch of brownies and sit on a couch and attain that figure.
Yes. This is an interesting move from the Barbie giant.
Is she wearing a corset?
No, that's just a shirt.
Oh, okay.
With a band around the waist. Just a weird
shirt, okay.
They're introducing another one. The tall Barbie.
Wasn't Barbie already tall?
Yeah, I thought Barbie was tall too. And then there's other pictures of this fooling around where she's compared to regular Barbie. She's a full head taller than Barbie.
Oh, okay.
So she's just a giant.
She's like 6'2".
Yes.
All right, okay.
The other and the final Barbie they introduced is the petite Barbie.
The Nicki Minaj Barbie.
Yeah, so this is the one that's like a head and a half shorter than Barbie.
Than Barbie, okay.
And she's got that smaller frame and figure, which is kind of cool that Barbie's getting a bit more diverse.
So I know Barbie is used as like a synonym for all the dolls. Like, oh, it's like, I got a Barbie, even though it's not actually Barbie. So are these new girls like alternate reality versions of actual Barbie? Or are they just part of the Barbie line?
And they're just part of the Barbie line.
All right.
I don't think, like, Barbie herself, I don't think she'll ever change her body. Because
no, there's no way that would happen.
But she'll probably be like, yo, check out my new friends. They're way more diverse and they're real. Which is, I don't know.
I saw a piece of Barbie news recently. I don't know if you were going to talk about
that. That's also part of this story.
All right, continue.
Along with Barbie introducing new body types, Barbie's also been very stereotypical for having female-oriented occupations, we'll say.
Okay.
But no. No.
Not this time.
Women today, they can do whatever they dream of. They're allowed to do whatever they want. I mean, the original Barbie, of course, she could always be a fashionista.
I think at one point she was a race car driver, I'll say that.
Sure. Well, how about this? Barbie can now become a spy.
Cool.
She's part of the
spy Barbie.
There's a spy squad.
That just reminds me of that show Totally Spies.
Yes.
I like that show a lot. That show's really good.
Oh, that show that you thought was anime, but wasn't
anime? Totally Spies. Oh, okay. That show's good.
And then there is the Barbie who wants power. So she's going for President and Vice President Barbie.
Yeah, I like how she has just in case. She's like, I still want to be Vice President.
Yes. But I think the one that got everyone's attention was Game Developer Career of the Year Barbie.
Man.
I don't know how I feel about like the whole Career of the Year thing, but Game Developer Barbie sounds cool.
Is that like a thing that's happening year over year? Like, does the Barbie company pick? Like, does Mattel pick, like, oh, this occupation's super hot, so we're gonna make Barbie do this occupation,
right? I don't know. I guess that must be it. It must be like a vote or something. But this Barbie's gonna come with it looks like a MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Astro A50s.
Astro A50s? Like how specifically you're like, Astro A50s.
Astro A50s. She's got red hair. She's got those giant glasses.
Yeah, thick rim, probably black rim glasses.
Yeah. turtle shell stuff. But yeah. And you can get this Barbie in curvy, petite, tall, or classic.
Wait, so is it like a pack? Or is it just like, here's like the accessories to make whatever Barbie you have
exactly into a game developer? Exactly.
Okay.
So I think like the occupation stuff is going to be like a wardrobe accessory pack.
Okay.
And then you can just shove it onto any Barbie you want.
That's pretty, you know what? That's pretty cool. Like, I never thought I would say that about a Barbie toy, but it's like really cool additions to the Barbie
line. Yeah, that caught my eye. I was like, you know what? Good for you, Mattel. It's nice to see.
The one thing I'll say, though, is from recent Twitter pictures from the developer of The Witness.
Okay.
Does Barbie come with a catheter and a jug to pee in? Because apparently, if you're a real game developer, you need to pee in a bottle and never be away from your desk.
I did see that, and that's fucked up.
That's dedication.
That's not dedication. That's poop socking is what that is.
That game took 7 years. Imagine if he had to take 7 years worth of bathroom breaks.
Man, I don't know.
It'd at least be 8 years.
That's not worth it, dude. I just don't believe that. Nope.
But it was a jar half full of pee. Or at least some sort of yellow liquid. It could have been apple juice. Yeah, you don't know.
It could have been alcohol for all
It could have been alcohol. You're right.
Yeah. I don't believe that for a second.
Okay.
I just don't believe that the head of a game company would be doing that.
Didn't he make that by himself, though?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. Still.
I'm sure he had a small team.
Oh, no. He did have a small team. Apparently he did. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because... Even Braid, did he make that on his...
I think Braid he made by himself, but with the money from Braid...
He hired
a little bit, like, some people to help out here and there.
I...
You're not gonna believe it? Still no?
That he did that?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that. Okay. He's too old.
All right.
He's too old. That's something only young idiots do.
It's like, man, I was gonna poop in this sock...
Yeah.
...and then throw it out later.
Because by the time you get to his age, you're, like, happy that you can still go to the washroom normally.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Or bathroom for all you...
I don't have kidney stones yet. Woo!
Exactly, right? You're like, oh, yeah, it still goes. It works.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my pick.
All right. Did you have any other picks?
Or
do you want to wait?
I don't know if I have anything worthy of talking about.
All right. I got a slew of picks.
Tell me.
I got bare minimum of three. So the first one, we'll just start. It's a quickie. So we all know E3, the Electronic Gaming Expo.
I love it.
Or Entertainment Expo. Sorry, that acronym wouldn't make sense. For the short form.
That'd be EEG.
Yeah, it would be EEG. So...
The Expo.
At E3, it's always, big developers, big publishers come out and they have their big stage show, Ubisoft, Xbox, Microsoft, Sony, and everybody. But there's going to be one less this year, which is EA.
Really?
EA has decided to pull out of E3 and to do their own thing. It's called EA Play. It's rumor has it there's going to be sort of like a Nintendo Direct type of thing, but they're also going to have their own like event space that you have to pre-register for so you can go play the things they announce and the demos that they have.
But like they're going to do this at E3?
They're going to do it a couple days before E3.
Oh.
Yeah, so they've just been like, hey, we're not going to pay E3 fees. We're not going to do all that stuff. We're going to have our own thing. And then also, we're going to have our own event that's populated with fans that we select to show you how cool our E3 coverage is.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting, and it's brought up a bunch of discussions in, like, the gaming world, at least, on podcasts, about, like, does E3 need to exist?
No.
No. All right. Boom. Because, like, I always hear, whenever I hear, like, people in the press complain about E3, I'm like, man, screw you guys. You get to go to, like, the coolest, like, biggest gaming show.
Yeah.
See a bunch of cool stuff before it's released. And it's just a bunch of, like, jaded dudes being like, all this work.
I have to
walk in a crowd.
Oh, play all these games and write about them. Oh,
man.
Oh, so no.
Hard, right?
I was listening to the Bombcast the other day.
Yeah.
And they got this email that was really snarky, too. And they were like... Since you guys just, you know, get paid to play games all day, and they're like, fuck you! We do more than that shit! You know, if that's what you think this job is, plus, like, we've got to do this podcast, and I'm like, fuck off! Fuck off!
That's a bad defense.
I know, I'm like, what? And it's coming from Jeff, and I'm like, are you being serious? Like,
yeah. Yeah, and so there's, like, part of me always have wanted to go to E3, And but like thinking thinking at it from like a business perspective,
it's way more advantageous.
Yeah, not to. Like E3 is pretty much like almost like a relic at this point. Like it's really cool to have.
Yeah,
but like you don't need E3 just because like everything's streamed now, right? Nobody's waiting for your press release, for your live blog version of what's happening at these press conferences, right? You're watching alongside with them, forming your own opinions.
Yeah.
And like it also helps on a business sense to be able to control your message, right? Yeah. Instead of having a live show, why not have your pre-filmed, perfectly edited show?
Yeah.
And then instead of having a bunch of randos come and check out your stuff, why not have this very curated show that you can control and kind of control what message gets pumped out into the public, right?
Yep.
So you're just definitively on the fence of like E3 is like nah.
I love the idea of E3 in the same way that I love like one day I'd love to go to Comic-Con, like San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But E3, do any of these things need to happen? No.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are purely for the fans.
Yeah.
I've always felt that way, at least. But yeah, I don't know. Like,
Do you think PAX has influenced E3 at all? Like, do you think it should be just a purely public show going forward, or?
Well, I don't know, because I look at other industries, right? Like CES.
Yeah.
That's public. The big auto shows are all public, right? They have public days and whatnot, and they're really cool. But again, those are there just to, I guess, help sell consumers on it.
Yeah. And also their message is a little different, I feel, for CS and auto shows, because it's more like, hey, wholesalers, check out these fridges we have that you can stock your brick and mortar stores with, right? Whereas I always felt that E3 is more like, dudes, check out all this cool stuff that you as an individual can buy, not really appealing to like the GameStops or Best Buys being like that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And especially since Sony stopped doing their crazy 45-minute numbers portion of their press conference, right? It's just more entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would love it if E3 continued on all the time, but I don't know. I completely understand why it'd be advantageous to not be part of that. And with more and more companies pulling out, it's eventually going to disappear.
Yeah. I feel like they have to change their business model, or if they're stubborn about it, they're just going to kind of fall to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my second pick is, so when you buy games normally in a brick and mortar store, where would be your first place that you want to go?
Amazon?
No, like brick and mortar. Like,
Amazon, when I buy a video game?
Yeah, like when you buy a video game specifically.
Ooh, I'm not really loyal. Whatever's cheapest.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Most people will go to EB Games, or in America's sense, GameStop.
You're all suckers.
They're all suckers.
You're all suckers.
Yo, hey, I know you're buying this game, but do you want to pre-order the new hotness?
No.
Are you interested? No, are you sure?
Because
We're probably not going to have enough on
Listen,
launch
I don't
day.
Want a pre-order game, but can you please put down that warranty for me?
Oh, yeah. Would you like the warranty? Yeah,
I would like that warranty. And a sub to Game Informer. Thank you very much.
All right, that's good news. I like to hear that.
I got my Edge card.
Are you a Platinum member? We have a deal right now. If you're a Red member, you can upgrade to a Platinum member.
Oh, shit.
It's limited time, though. Like,
sounds good.
Sounds good? Okay, I'll put you on that, too. Can I get all your personal information?
Yeah, you want my credit card?
Your social insurance number.
Oh, yeah. I can hand that over right to you
All
right,
thank you. Okay. So, GameStop, as we just demonstrated in our live Broadway play, they're a place that sells games. And recently...
Hold on. I walked into a GameStop recently. They do not sell games in there.
So that... Let me get some... Okay. Let me continue this story. So recently they have been... Like in recent years, they've been diversifying their business model.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
They've been like half the store is games and like the other half is like pop vinyls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like t-shirts.
And t-shirts and other weird stuff, right? Stuff that there's like a better bottom line on that. There's a better profit margin for them. Also, back in 2010, they bought Kongregate, which was it's a flash gaming portal.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so now, diversifying even more, GameStop is getting into game publishing, but not saying they're a publisher.
Okay.
So Insomniac Games is coming out with a new game called Song of the Deep. It was originally supposed to be like a 15 downloadable $15 downloadable title. But GameStop has said, hey, we'll throw a little money your way, and we'll sell some box copies of your game.
Oh.
So it seems what they're testing the waters for is if GameStop can help publish games in order to allow smaller devs to push physical copies of their game, which then helps GameStop because they're in the business of physical media.
Right, and only they help put out the physical copy.
Yeah, and then there would be like a thing, like you can also put it out on like whatever, mm-hmm. right, digitally. But if you want the box, like it has to be GameStop.
Oh.
So this is like a really interesting move. So this game will be $15 at launch, 15 USDs. So probably like $20 Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a really interesting thing to see where this will lead. Because if GameStop can actually make this a success,
mm-hmm.
like if there's just like, hey man, this new $60 hot title that's coming out, if you want the box copy, it's got to be GameStop.
Yeah.
Right. And I wonder if that'll lead, if it's successful enough, if that'll lead other companies to follow suit. If more and more companies will become jack of all trades instead of very right, specific to one right. culture or to one thing to sell. Right.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's GameStop needs a couple backup plans.
Yeah. Cause used games aren't doing that hot for them. Like it's most of their profit, but it's not hot enough to allow them to grow, really.
Yeah.
but it's kind of crazy that
yeah.
back in the day, I was just like, oh man, EB Games is going to be around forever. Like, everybody will need video games. And then it's like,
everybody,
no.
Everybody does need video games.
Yeah, everybody does need video games, but now you can get those video games in other ways.
Yeah, right? You just don't need the box anymore.
Exactly. So that was a pretty cool announcement. And then I think the biggest announcement of this week, or at least the coolest announcement.
Ooh, that's subjective. That's a subjective statement.
Yeah, that's why I put it either way. Is Great Detective Pikachu has its debut trailer.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen this, Great Detective Pikachu, : The Birth of a New Duo, is arriving on the 3DS next week in Japan. I believe it's on the eShop. I do not know if it's...
eShop game.
Yeah, if there's an eShop version, I do not know if there is a physical copy of this game. But it will be on the Japanese eShop. And, yo, it's Sherlock Holmes, or Pikachu as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
The craziest thing about this game is that Pikachu just straight up pulls a Meowth.
Yeah.
And he just talks. And it's not that, like, in this world, Pokemon can talk to you. Because in the trailer, another Pikachu shows up. And he's just like, Pika-Pi, what's up?
Yeah.
Right? Pikachu, this Detective Pikachu, is like a gruff detective who's seen some shit.
It's... Yeah.
And him and his human partner, Tim.
Tim!
Tim, just straight Tim, is, they're gonna go solve some mysteries. So, so first off, what's your initial thoughts on these trailer? On this trailer?
Like? I'm in shock. Like... I'm not against the idea, but at the same time, I watch the trailer, I'm just like, what this world? What have we come to? Like, enough.
How's this different from Meowth talking in the cartoon?
Because Meowth didn't go out and try to solve fucking crimes.
Yeah, he started crimes.
No, he was still in the Pokemon world. Like, this is in Tokyo.
Yeah, he's just straight in Tokyo.
Like, right? This is in our world. Which leads me to question, why is there a real Pikachu wandering the streets of Tokyo as well? Like, the one he talks to.
Because there's other Pokemon in this world. It's like Tokyo, but so, Pokemon are real in Tokyo.
That's what's fucking with my mind. I'm like, no.
We're not in Kanto. We're not in Johto.
We're in Tokyo.
We're in Tokyo.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? I don't know. It's something. It's not something I'm particularly interested in playing.
Okay.
But, sure, I guess I could see the appeal.
The trailer doesn't really show anything in the terms of gameplay.
I'm just assuming it's like a Leighton game.
A Leighton game? Okay. I'd be so down with that. Yeah. You don't even know. Okay, oh my god. I want to see Pikachu just be like, I got it! Like, get all the Pickerats.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. so this game was unveiled, I guess, yeah, two years and some change now. In October 2013.
Man, I guess we all forgot about it.
And I guess everybody, yeah, I didn't even realize it was announced back then. But during that time, Pikachu's main antagonist was a rare blue Pikachu, which is nowhere to be seen within this trailer.
A rare blue Pikachu?
Yeah, a blue. You know how you can get, like, shiny Pokemon?
Holy fuck.
Yeah, it's a blue
Pikachu. I remember when I was a kid, the myth of the blue Pikachu.
Yeah.
Turned out it was Meryl.
Turned out it was Meryl, right?
This game suddenly got a whole lot interesting.
Yeah, so it's an actual blue Pikachu. And apparently,
he's not surfing. He's just a
blue. I don't know. Maybe he can surf. Maybe he's got a surfboard.
This is getting interesting.
This is getting interesting. All right.
The plot thickens.
I really hope Pikachu says that line at some point. Like, he finds a clue and he's like, the plot thickens, Pika. And then, like, he just smokes a pipe. But I highly recommend, I think this is fantastic, all right? I highly recommend everybody watch this trailer.
Okay, sure.
Look for Great Detective Pikachu. It's the new hotness coming out of the Pokemon Company. And I think it's the future of Pokemon.
Shut up.
I want Great Detective Typhlosion.
No.
I want Great Detective Golem.
No.
The myth of who created Pokemon, like, I want that. I want a Great Detective Pikachu game that solves which Pokemon came first. Is it Arceus? Is it Mew?
They have that already.
Is it?
Yeah, I think Arceus is the first Pokemon.
But he created. But then Mew's labeled as the first Pokemon.
That we know of.
Yeah, so Mew's labeled as the first Pokemon. But then Arceus is said to have created the universe.
Yes.
But was Mew first?
Before? No. Mew was the first discovered. The first known Pokemon.
Okay. All right. I like how you're logically thinking about this.
Mm.
Okay, but yeah. Great Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, oh my gosh, sure to be a hit.
I hope it comes out here.
Sure to be a hit, not a flop. Big hit.
I don't want to have to import a Japanese 3DS for this.
Sure to be a hit.
But yeah, those are my three picks. Nice. There's some, like, other mildly interesting stuff, like Breath of Fire 3 is coming out here on the digitally.
Oh, because, like, what are you talking about? That game's old.
No, digitally. I mean, okay. They're re-releasing Breath of Fire 3. Yeah. There was some Final Fantasy 15 stuff,
yeah,
which looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, those are my picks.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Great Detective Pikachu coming to a Japanese 3DS near you.
Hope you guys are excited for Detective Pikapoo.
What? Hey, whoa. No disrespect, okay?
Never.
He's our nation's hero.
What?
Yeah, no. He solved all those crimes. He solved that OJ, didn't kill that girl.
God. All right. So moving toward weeks. I've been watching a BBC series.
Wow, fancy.
It's a car series.
How highbrow of you?
Yeah, no. It's called James May's Cars of the People.
What? James May got his own show?
They all tend to do their own specials every now and
then. Oh, specials, okay.
Yeah, it's a 3-episode thing, and which I think aired like 2 years ago. But then he has his second season aired last week, so like...
So you're catching up?
Yeah, so I'm caught up.
Oh.
And it's a car culture history show about... Not like supercars and whatnot, or like fancy cars, just the cars that that change the world.
Like the Ford Taurus.
Sure. No. But like the cars that gave transportation to the masses.
Okay.
Or like the history of, like, you know what the most successful selling car is?
Civic.
No.
Model T.
I'll give you a hint. Hitler made it.
Volkswagen?
Close.
Volkswagen? Jetta?
No.
I don't know what it is.
It's the Beetle.
Oh, wait. He made the Beetle?
He made the Beetle. Man. That was all Hitler's design. It's fucked up, right?
And now the CEOs are channeling Hitler to cheat on their emissions tests.
So I learned this interesting thing about the Beetle. He made the Beetle and he sold it to the German public, right?
Yeah.
But he realized it might have been too expensive for people. So he said, all right, how about part of your... He told this to, like, all the German citizens. How about you take a little bit of your income and
subsidize the Beetle
and put it into a trust fund that we'll hold on to or something, and then every time you donate you get a stamp on your card, and when you fill like 27 stamps we'll give you the car.
They subsidized the Beetle.
What actually happened was no one got their Beetle. He used all that money and went to war.
Awesome.
That's fucked up,
man.
Right.
True, like, man, true to himself.
Like,
damn.
Can you believe that?
That's awesome.
So that's the type of shit that this show is about. And I'm just so enthralled. I'm like,
Of course, James May is hosting a show like this.
And I'm like, oh man, this is incredible. Basically, it goes on to the whole, like, guess what? America and Great Britain, we won the war. But in reality, who actually won the world? Germany and Japan. Because you know who the top car sellers in the world are? Germany and Japan.
Okay.
Right? And it's like, they rule the world now. You know what Great Britain puts out? Nothing. They don't make anything anymore. America, no one buys American cars.
It's too, yeah, no one buys American cars. Nobody develops in America because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
NAFTA and all that.
Yeah, and it's like, it's all that type of like a car related information. Yeah, no, and it's cool. It's really cool. If you like.
Sorry, what's this called again?
James May's Cars of the People.
Cars of the, okay. I'm going to watch this.
Like, it's really, like, there's a lot of just interesting facts about behind the world of cars, and, like, it's a whole lot of, oh, I wonder whatever happened to that company. Like, and it was, like, this small little shitty box that people liked, and it was like, I wonder what happened to them. Oh, they're Mazda.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, fuck.
They turned into Mazda. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's this really cool information show. But the one game I've been playing, I actually started last week after we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers Devastation.
The game looks awesome.
So, I haven't finished the game. I'm about, I think, chapter 5 out of 7?
Oh, is it, okay.
I think there's 7 chapters.
How would you put an hour count to that? Did you know?
I'm maybe like 3 hours.
Oh, okay, so it's short.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. If I had to give a review right now, it would be fun.
Fun out of fun?
Fun out of fun. Short.
Short out of long.
Shallow.
Shallow out of fulfilling, I
and
guess.
And fun.
All right. Cool. All
right. That's basically the game.
I like our new review style. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. This game is a whole lot more incredible if you are a Transformers fan.
Okay.
Because it does, like, the whole, oh my god, this is happening. Like the first time you have to fight Devastator... Or, like, you fight his pieces, and then he comes together, he's like, yo, I'm ready to rip some shit. And you're like, fuck.
Devastator, like, lives up to his name.
Yeah, and then, like, one of my favorite fights is, like, you fight Blitzwing, and Blitzwing is, he's my favorite triple changer, because he's a robot, but he's, like, this big, burly robot.
Yeah.
He turns into a tank.
Yeah.
And then when he's done being a tank, he's like, fuck it, I'm a jet now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So when you fight him, he's like, what? You can't stop me. And it's really cool. I love the art style. It's I just wish the combat was a little deeper.
And you know that Platinum is capable of doing that.
Because, like, if I were to describe it, it would be like, you know, in the Batman Arkham games?
Yeah.
It's like that, but you don't have any of the fancy tricks and gadgets mm-hmm. with it. And the counter button or the dodge button is not as forgiving.
Okay.
Right? So, or that witch time thing.
Yeah. So in Bayonetta, like when you dodge, you just cancel any animation you're in. And you're just like, woo!
Yeah. So in Devastation, it's not quite that precise.
Okay.
And I just wish, I wish there was a little bit more you could do with the combat.
Okay.
And I wish the characters played differently.
I wonder if that's like, I'm sure they've had, like, their game developers, they probably thought ins and outs of this game through and through. But, like, I wonder if that's, like, mainly a marketing decision. Because I wonder if they're just like, oh, Transformers, toys,
that makes
children.
Sense. That makes
and
sense.
And it's like, if children want to play this game, it can't be this super deep Bayonetta-style gameplay.
That makes sense. Man, it makes all the Transformers characters super cool, though. All
right.
Like, when Bumblebee goes around, he's like, yo, fuck it. I got double blasters. I'm going to punch you and then turn into a car and ram into you. It's like, Bumblebee's not that cool.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, he is. He just did it.
He's not that cool. Wheeljack. Man, Wheeljack, okay, so in the show, Wheeljack's kind of like the cranky old professor.
Okay.
And I would liken him to, who's the professor from Back to the Future?
They just called him Doc.
Doc. So that's pretty much what Wheeljack's like in the cartoon.
Okay.
So in this game, he takes his wrenches and he uses them like samurai swords.
To dismantle robots?
And he's like, and he's just so badass. I'm just like, oh man, I've always hated Wheeljack, but you're so cool here.
Is so who is that Transformer you showed me who turned into a Metal Slug tank last week?
Oh, that toy. He's only from the comics.
Oh, okay. He's not in this game?
No.
Okay.
He's not. I think that's the other thing I'm really disappointed in. I've always been more of a Decepticon fan, and you only get to play 5 Autobots.
Okay.
But no, it's cool. Oh, that's the other pick I wanted to talk about. Platinum's next game.
The Ninja Turtles game.
Yes. That game looks awesome.
So that makes me really excited. If this Transformers game is really what you say, where if you're a Transformers fan, you're really going to get a lot out of this. Like, I know more about Ninja Turtles than I do about Transformers. Yeah. So I really hope that game.
And that game, like, from what I've seen, that game looks like a little bit deeper. But they've already revealed that it's going to be a budget title. Like, it's not a full price.
Yeah, because Platinum's just like pumping out games.
Which is fucked up for Transformers, because this is a full priced game.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I got it on Boxing Day.
That's we got ours on sale, but this is not a budget release, right? Yeah, true. So, but yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. Looks cool. Like, if you want to just sit down and be like, "Yo, want to see some robots do some awesome shit?"
I'm down. I'm down for that.
Put it on.
All right.
Put cool. it on. But yeah, that's been mostly my week.
Cool. So I got some stuff to update from last week. So I finished Just Cause 3.
I heard.
And I like that game more than I did last week.
That's good.
So the thing with that game is, the more I spent time with it and the more I got accustomed to the mechanics and the way that game plays and stuff, the more crazy stuff I was able to do and the more I enjoyed the game. So, like, for example, like, slight spoilers, there is a story mission on a train. And during that train fight, you have to be on top of the train, protecting the train from other stuff. There are other trains ramming into you, trying to derail you and stuff like that. But during it, like, if you have, like, sort of, not a mastery, but, like, a good grasp on the wingsuit using the different objects you have to your disposal, like, you can do some really awesome stuff in that game. So, like, one example was I got knocked off the train.
Yep.
Right? By a helicopter. And so, as I was falling off the train in midair, I grappled the helicopter to the train. And then the speed of the train just made the helicopter just wham into the ground.
Oh.
Like, it pulled it backwards, right? Because it was going too fast. And then after that, I pulled out my wingsuit midair, and I was just grappling along tunnel walls and along other cars, and I caught up to the train again, and it just felt like this action hero badass. Like, that's the part of the movie where, like, oh no, they're gonna fail, but it doesn't. And also, like, I derailed another train, and when it derailed, it fell down a mountainside, and I was wingsuiting alongside it, going down the mountain as it was crashing and exploding and doing cool stuff. That game does require you to make your own fun. So if you're just going to be like, I'm going to take out each object by just shooting a rocket at it, right? Yeah. By the 50th time you've done that, you're going to be very displeased with this game. It really rewards you in terms of points and efficiency, but also in terms of fun if you use everything that you have. Like, try out new weapons, experiment a little bit, do some cool stuff. But I do really like that. The story's really light.
I don't expect it to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very light. It's very comedic. Like, it's kind of barely there.
Yep.
It's mainly on, here's a bunch of red stuff that explodes.
Yep.
Blow up all the red things.
Okay.
I really like it. The next thing to catch up on is Yakuza 5. So, Yakuza series is all about being big, burly dudes, Yakuza badasses, being manly men, punching each other in the face, but, like, the fist is still on their face, and it's like, I didn't even feel it. And then you punch someone else.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff. So I just got to a chapter that is the complete opposite.
Really?
Where, so in the first game, you pretty much take in this girl, this orphan girl named Haruka. And throughout the series, she's kind of like your reason to keep on fighting, right? But in this game, she's older. And she's in high school. And she has dreams of being a J-pop idol.
Oh, I see where this is going.
So you play as Haruka.
Oh.
Becoming a J-pop idol, and it's such the opposite of everything else in that game.
Whoa.
It's so awesome. So instead of getting into, like, random battles, you find people on the street who want to have dance battles, and then you beat them in dance battles and get experience to get new dance moves.
This is weird.
So it's awesome. Your heat moves in normal Yakuza are like special moves. It goes into, like, a cinematic sequence where you, like, throw a guy's face into a wall and, like, grate it on the ground.
Yes.
In this one, there are things like cutie heart attack, where you'll go into a cutscene where you make, like, a heart sign with your hands and go, ah, and then everyone's like, yay, and they cheer for you because you did something cute. Mm-hmm. And because you're so cute, it messes up your opponent in their dance battle.
That's
so it can like mess up the rhythm, or it can like take some health away.
That's something. I don't know what to say about that.
It's really cool. It also goes really in depth into like being an idol, like the business of idling, I guess.
You're not allowed to have a boyfriend?
Not that far. Like not not to extremes.
Okay.
But like where managers are just like, listen, if you don't put in the work, you're nothing to me, and I'm gonna just drop you at like drop you on a dime, or like how other girls are like, because they're also vying for this popularity game, right? They'll do anything to like get you to be not as popular, even if that doesn't mean with the fans necessarily, but with the people who have the decision making abilities to put you on TV or to put you in a dance battle.
Can you believe the sounds?
Yeah. It's really cool. There are different mini games, so you can have like public events where you dance, you have like an event where you do your dance and your song for just a random crowd on the street.
Yeah.
But you also have handshaking events. For people who don't know, in Japan, idol groups sometimes they have these fan events, and they're called handshaking events. Oh,
right,
events.
Where you just come and shake hands.
So, the Japanese people really like it when it's like these seemingly unattainable people come down off their podium and become one of them. And you can meet them, you can talk with them, and you shake their hand and talk with them and ask them different questions. This is very notorious in AKB48 because there have been like really kind of dark situations where like really extreme fans will like jerk off into their hand
and then shake
their hand.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. The game doesn't go there. It's very friendly. But yeah, you have handshaking events. You'll be at like a convenience store, and people will walk up to you and like shake your hand.
That's weird.
And they'll say things to you. So they'll be like, "You smell really good," right? And how it works is that the dialogue they say will be a color. It'll be like yellow, green, red, or blue.
Yeah.
And then you have to do a response of the same color on the D-pad.
Oh.
Right. It's very simple.
Okay.
But like it's funny because things like that will be like, "You smell really good," and her response will just be, the correct response will always be, "Thanks," and then like you keep shaking that like really awkwardly, right? Huh. The other thing is that you have a remover.
Oh, like a bodyguard?
Yeah, like a bodyguard. Oh. And his whole thing is to remove people. So what you have to do, or what happens, is if they shake your hand too long, he will try and grab someone's shoulder and move them along to keep the line going. But the remover is a big fan of yours. So you have like special moves that you can do where you just shoot him an "it's okay" smile. And he's like, "Oh, you're adorable. I'll let you shake his hand a little bit longer."
Wow.
Right? And you have to like balance between shaking hands, letting people go, and this stuff.
It sounds like the weirdest mini game.
It's so weird. But it's like it's this weird in-depth
culture
look
thing?
Into Japanese culture. So the person I'm playing with doesn't know anything about Japanese culture.
Oh, are they just like,
So she's just like, why does she have to shake these people's hands? I'm like, she doesn't have to, but over there, it's just like, here, let me show you. And like, I'll pull up like an AKB48 video or something. Right. And it's this is by far the best Yakuza game that has been released in North America. Mm-hmm. But this game is also exponentially more fun playing it with someone who has no clue about Japanese culture, right?
I can see that.
Where I just look at things and I'm just like,
okay,
that just makes sense. That's just, handshaking events, whatevs.
Yeah.
Right?
I see it.
But like, or like, oh, like their portrayal of transgender people or transvestites, right?
Right.
It's just like, ah, that's just Japan. Whatever. Right? And then they're just like, what the fuck is all this weird shit? Right?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh man, oh, like I totally got to explain it to you. It's really fun. I really like it.
Well, good.
I highly recommend everybody play.
This is PS3.
PS3. Yeah, everybody play Yakuza 5.
Okay.
I think that series is fantastic. So the new stuff I've been doing this week is I watched a movie called The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room is a 2003 film. It is notorious in the fact that it is labeled as one of the worst movies ever made. Period.
Okay.
Just like from both a technical sense, a story writing sense, just overall, it's a terrible film.
Okay.
And I 100% agree.
Okay.
This movie is terrible.
Okay.
It beats Tekken 2 Kazuya's Revenge for the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
It is directed, written, and I think funded by this guy named Tommy Wiseau. W-I-S-E-A-U.
Okay.
And he is this guy. He's getting married to this girl. And the girl decides, or his fiance decides, that she doesn't want to be with him anymore. And she does this, like, tries to cheat on him and do all this. Like, cheats with her best friends, and they're manipulating the relationship. But as complex as that story sounds, it is the simplest thing in the world. This girl just does this, like, at the beginning of the movie, she's like, oh, I love you, Tommy, we're the best, we're lovers, or whatever. And she just does this 180 turn one day where she's like, I hate him, I'm gonna sleep with his best friend. And that's it. That's the whole turn. Like, there's no, like, Tommy hit me. It's like, no, he's just a good dude, and he's a banker. Like, pretty much the worst thing that happened was Tommy came home one day, and he's like, I didn't get my promotion. And then she's like, you're a deadbeat. I'm gonna sleep with your best friend.
Wow.
And I can't explain this
movie. How much you loved it?
No, I can't explain this movie.
Okay.
Like, the reasons it's bad, you have to see. I feel that this movie, if you are taking a film studies class, this should be mandatory watching for what never to do in movies. Also, somehow this movie had a $6 million budget.
That's not a lot.
That's when I see million, I'm like, what the hell? Like, it feels like I had a $10 budget. There are just straight scenes that are reused, that are recycled, but cut differently.
Nice.
To save money, I guess.
Hey, Michael Bay does it.
Does he?
Yeah.
In what?
In the most recent Transformers movie.
Oh, yeah, but that's different. Like, he used the CG outcropping, but then changed things within it.
Yes.
Right? This is just straight. Remember that scene you saw 10 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is again, but redone.
Cool.
And obviously it's a sex scene because they didn't want to repay someone to do a sex scene. There are just plot holes left and right. There is three characters in the movie who literally serves no purpose. They're in scenes, they have lines, but they add actually nothing to the movie. There are whole scenes that are useless to the movie. This movie's like an hour and a half, and it could have easily been 20 minutes. I recommend people watch this to see what an actual bad movie is. Right? Because, like, now I have this new, like, this and Tekken 2.
Oh, God.
I have this, like, new thing of, like, that movie was, it was bad, but it wasn't technically bad. Like, I'm never being hyperbolic anymore.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that movie was the worst. It's the worst. Because I've seen the worst movie.
And now you know.
And it's The Room.
Okay.
So, like, I can see these movies and be like, no, this is, like, technically impressive. And, like, they know what they're doing here. It's just unfortunate that the movie is not that good. Because now I have a base for what the actual worst movie is.
Okay.
Don't pay for it. Like, I recommend you pirate it. It's not good.
So why did you watch this? That's the real question now.
Because our friends and I, we got together, and we like watching hilariously bad movies.
Okay.
And one of them was like, you guys have to watch this movie called The Room. It is apparently the worst. So also what I've learned, sorry, is that James Franco and Seth Rogen are making a mockumentary about the making of The Room.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because there's this 2013 book, I forget the title of it. It's like something, it's like a disaster or something. But it's about the making of that movie and how it got this cult following now of being notoriously terrible.
Yeah.
And so now James Franco and Seth Rogen are making a movie based off that book.
That's about the making of that film.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's weird.
That is.
This movie's weird.
Sounds very weird.
Just look up YouTube scenes even. Like,
yeah,
conversations between characters. Like, there's a scene where Tommy goes into a flower shop to buy flowers for his wife. The whole scene is him getting out of his car, immediately walking to the table, like to the counter. He goes, hey, how's it going? I want flowers for my wife. With no pause in between, the flower shop owner goes, yeah. Oh, here are some roses. That'll be $18. Again, no pause in between. Tommy going, oh, here's a 20. Keep the change. See you later. Bye. And the whole scene is like 10 seconds of really awkward dialogue.
Nice.
It's so bad. Oh, my God. I love it and hate it at the same time.
This sounds like a movie that was clearly told from a male perspective. Like, in the sense that... where he didn't see the other side of the story.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Tommy is barely in the movie. Uh-huh. He's the main character.
Yeah.
It's mostly the wife.
Yeah.
It's mostly trying to get into this wife's head.
That's what I'm saying. Like, from the way you describe it, it feels like a story where he's trying to describe the motivation of why a woman would cheat on him, but he never actually understood why.
Right. Okay. So you mean like when he was actually writing the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what this movie sounds like to me.
That, you know what? That makes so much sense.
Yes.
It makes because every time someone tries to talk to the wife and be like, "Hey, why are you doing this? Like, what is your logic behind this?" She's just like, "I don't want to talk about it," mm-hmm. and just leaves the room.
It feels like a whole bunch of things that guys would stereotypically complain about women.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
That's a very good description of it. Having not seen the movie, that's very apt.
Mm.
But you should watch it.
No.
This is not a movie I ever want to watch again, but I want to subject people to.
That's terrible.
It's, yeah, 3.5 on IMDb, 35 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Could be worse.
It could be worse. We tried to watch The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, really?
That's not I actually shut that movie off.
Oh.
Because I was just like, this isn't good. Like,
all right.
Okay, and then the last thing I've been doing is Final Fantasy Explorers.
Oh, here we go.
I
talked a lot about this TJ today.
Did you, actually?
Uh-huh.
All right. So, what did TJ say to you?
He said...
Or what'd you ask?
He told me, he's like, so, I don't know if it's just me or if it's the game, but it's so boring.
Okay.
And then I told him, listen, all the reviews say it doesn't get fun till the end game. But the problem is, by that point, you're doing about a marathon's worth of running every time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, I don't know. And he didn't like how he couldn't unlock the job classes until he reached certain story points.
Okay.
Didn't sound like he loved it, but he wasn't super, super pissed about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm about the same.
Oh, shit.
So this game, Final Fantasy Explorers, is like the monster. It's like their Monster Hunter take.
Yep.
So like, yeah, you're an explorer. You can do all the jobs and go do stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not that far into them. About 5 hours in, I've unlocked some extra classes. I unlocked the Time Mage and the Thief.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it's very bland.
That's what I hear.
It is. Here, like, there's no story reasoning behind this. Like, the whole story is, you're an explorer, go explore.
Ah.
Like, the opening battle is you battling Bahamut.
Ah.
Right? And you're in, like, endgame gear, and you're, like, doing all this cool stuff. And then eventually it's like, Bahamut's too powerful, he can't be stopped, you gotta leave. And shit. So you leave, and then for some reason you have no stuff anymore.
They do the God of War thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, yo, you gotta work your way up to Bahamut. Even though, like, 2 hours in, I'm fighting Ifrit and Shiva and, like, Ramu. Like, all these other Final Fantasy summons. Like, why can't I take Bahamut?
Uh-huh.
And the thing... Okay, two things that bother me are... A, this... When you're in the field, there is just a ton of empty space. Like, land masses are pretty big, but you can't really interact with them.
There's, like, nothing in there?
There's nothing in there, okay. Right? The game would have been, like, more convenient if every area was just a flat surface with exits on points.
Yeah.
Because there are, like, ledges and stuff, and you can't interact with them. You can't climb ledges. You can't jump off anything.
Weird.
There's no air attacks, really.
Huh.
Magic seems very hard to use because you have to aim it.
Oh, no.
So it's not just lock onto a thing and... like, different magic has different range.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, be in a certain range depending on what magic you're using. And so that part bothers me, just, like, the overworld. The other part is the economy. The economy seems way unbalanced. To where, you know how there's, like, minimal fees for accepting quests in Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
But you're never like, oh no, I'm out of money.
Yeah.
Right? At least until late game, you're not never like that. In this game, I feel strapped for cash at all times.
Oh, yeah, because you got to split your resources between...
Because you have to split your resources between your gil and your crystal points.
Which level up?
Which help you buy skills.
Ah, skills, okay.
Yeah, so you have an adventure explorer level, an EL level, but I have no clue what that does for you.
Okay.
I don't know if that ups your stats or anything or what, whatever it does. To me, it could just be hunter rank for all I know. So, your gil runs out real fast.
Okay.
Because there are tons of things to sink your money into, but everything is way too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, your crystal points are... You have tons and tons of crystal points, but you never need to use them unless you need to buy stuff for your class.
Mm.
And even then, you will have so many crystal points that it doesn't even matter.
I see.
There are also ways to pretty much exchange your gil for crystal points, but there's no way to do the vice versa. So, you can get sub-quests, which are, deliver 3 skeleton bones, but this quest costs you 10,000 gil and gives you 5,000 crystal points.
Yeah.
But there's no reverse of that.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's really annoying. So when forging new stuff, new armor and stuff, you're always, a couple gil short.
Yeah.
Or a couple thousand gil short. So it's like, okay, I'm wearing half an armor set. I'm going to go do whatever. Because I didn't think it'd be so expensive.
Right.
This game is infinitely better with friends.
Mm.
By yourself, it is very boring. It is it's very trite.
Is there online co-op?
There is online co-op. Okay. So you can just roll in with some randos and do some stuff. You can also do the Monster Hunter thing of I invite all my friends to this private room and we're doing stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, solo is not fun. In the least.
Okay.
And there's there's a bunch of fan service stuff. I've unlocked the ability to forge Sephiroth's armor.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But I haven't really done those quests.
Okay, here's a question. Would you have bought this game if Final Fantasy wasn't in the title?
If Final Fantasy wasn't on the title, probably not.
Okay.
Right? That's the same reason I didn't buy God Eater.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this looks like a kind of rote, kind of shittier Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Eh. Mm. But it had that Final Fantasy flair on it, mm-hmm. and no pun intended.
Yeah.
But, and I was like, cool, I can fight Bahamut. I can dress as Sephiroth. I can do all this cool Final Fantasy stuff that I love. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm just like, well, whatever.
Glad you enjoyed it.
It's fine. It's very mediocre. It's painfully mediocre.
I will wait for the sequel.
Yeah, but I don't know if that'll be better, because Cross will be probably out by then.
Guess I'm not playing this game.
It's just sad. There are a ton of examples. Even if you didn't want to go straight Monster Hunter, there are tons of other third person action games that involve this kind of gameplay, God Eater or Freedom Wars and stuff like that. Involve that crafting gameplay, right? And I don't know why they didn't take more hints from those things.
Yeah. This game sounds like the number one thing I hate about Japanese game design is that they love to have, at least growing up, from my experience, Japanese games to me have always been they have this one awesome mechanic.
Yeah.
And they fucking live off that mechanic. But they also introduce artificial game length, ways to just make this thing.
To make you use that mechanic. It's we made this mechanic, you're going to use it.
Yeah, and then they'll just introduce other paths where it's and this will make your game clock longer, the running. Okay. Or the fact that you never get gills, so you're going to constantly grind.
So on the back of the box, you'd be 80 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
40 of that is running to your destination.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They do, at least on the map I'm on, there are some stuff where if you visited an area, mm-hmm. when you start a quest, you can go to the airship. And the airship can just drop you off in that area.
Oh, cool.
But if you do that, you're at a loss for materials.
Oh, boy.
So it's you can skip straight to the boss and beat the boss. But at that point, when you need materials to upgrade your armor to be able to survive the later bosses, you have none.
Yeah, it sucks.
Right? So it's still beneficial for you to run the whole time and defeat mobs along the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
All right.
And it's not... Yeah. I don't recommend it.
All right, then. I have nothing to worry about.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. You don't have to buy it.
It's cool.
And that's it. That's my week.
That's it? That's your
week? Sorry. There was downtime. I finished. I'm done.
Oh, okay. sweet.
Unless you want to talk about negative interest rates in Japan's economy.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. That's it for this week's show.
Yay!
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
What's on the docket this week, Anthony? What are you going to tease us with for next week's show?
For next week's show? Man, I think I'll just keep it a mystery.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll talk about Metal Gear next week.
What?
Yes.
Yes!
I'll talk about the Phantom Pain next
yes!
week.
Yes!
So look forward to that, and maybe some anime.
I love anime. I'm really excited to hear your take on the Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
Because of what the state of the Phantom Pain is right now.
Oh, yes, because I didn't start it till after.
Yeah, all the weird microtransaction patches and all that stuff.
Yep.
I'm really excited for this.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. See y'all later.
Bye.